Great to have you with us on WPR News. Larry Mueller here, and we're starting our show today by talking about pancreas cancer and the support that's available if you're diagnosed, you or a loved one or a friend. Dr. Monica Patel with us today. Dr. Patel is a medical oncologist at UW Health. Dr. Patel provides treatment for gastrointestinal cancers, which includes pancreas cancer. Dr. Monica Patel, welcome. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
With us as well, Kathy Blakeslee, as she is a member of the Pancreas Cancer Task Force and is also a cancer survivor. And Kathy, great to have you with us as well.
Thank you.
As we talk with our guest today, I hope you'll join in. Maybe you could tell us how you've been affected by pancreas cancer. I've actually lost several friends over in the last 8-10 years to it. Maybe you are wondering how you can support a loved one who's just received a diagnosis. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Dr. Patel, let's start with you, and I think we ought to be pretty basic just to begin with. We don't usually think about the pancreas, I don't imagine, until it's not working or not working properly. Tell us where in the body it's located and what it does.
Yeah, so the pancreas is located sort of in the upper abdomen or upper belly. It's tucked behind the stomach. It is not a cancer that's easy to detect if you don't have traditional screening mechanisms for general populations. And it does, if there's cancer there, it does tend to hide. So it's a little bit tricky. The pancreas has different functions. It secretes different hormones like insulin. So it can contribute to diabetes. And it also has other functions that help us digest food by secreting other enzymes. So there are different functions of the pancreas.
It seems to me that the amount of pancreatic cancer is increasing, but how prevalent is it?
So it isn't one of the most common cancers that we see in the United States, but certainly it is increasing in prevalence. And the most concerning part is that the death rate is incredibly high. We've made very small progress, and now we're in double-digit five-year survival, but still very low. And so I think that's where we have to make a lot of headway.
Yeah, and why do we have this high mortality rate?
So I think many people present with more advanced cancers, something like a stage 4 metastatic cancer. Many of the times people don't have symptoms because until the cancer is too late, I should say, or too far, so it's progressed in the metastatic setting. And in that case, it's typically not a curable situation, although rarely there are exceptions. And so I think because the cancer is frequently caught late, that leads or contributes to potentially some of the higher mortality rates. Another reason is, although we aim for cure in the localized settings, a lot of the time the cancer evades all our treatments that we have. And even though we're hopeful for a cure, even with localized cancers, it frequently does recur. And then again, it becomes incurable.
Yeah. I was thinking about one of my friends who in his 40s and a healthy person and just went into for insurance purposes for a health check. And here he was in stage 4 pancreatic.
Yeah. That unfortunately happens all too commonly. Some people present with jaundice and then sometimes we pick it up earlier, or someone goes in for a scan or blood work for another reason. And then we pick it up incidentally where we weren't expecting to find it. And then sometimes it's caught at an earlier stage, but for many, that's not the case.
Kathy Blakeslee, I want to turn to you. You're a member or part of the Pancreatic Cancer Task Force at the UW Carbone Cancer Center. What kind of work does the task force do?
Okay, the task force is a group of individuals who have been affected by pancreatic cancer There's a few of us survivors in the group, as well as caregivers and others. And we collaborate with the UW-Carbone Cancer Center. One of our biggest helps is to work with the Roland Stroll. That's our biggest fundraiser for pancreatic cancer research and helping raise awareness to the public for pancreatic cancer and the symptoms that go with that. We also hold a pancreatic cancer awareness night in November, which we'll talk about later, to bring awareness and information. So we have a website, which is at www.uwhealth.org/PCTF, where we place a lot of information and resources for those who have a loved one affected by pancreatic cancer. We also have just started a mentoring group where those of us surviving with cancer or have been prior caregivers and lost someone to cancer can mentor new patients and guide them and help them advocate for themselves, provide them resources and support and understanding. And then we've also created a comfort tote program where we've worked with the nurses in the cancer center to provide those items to patients that are new to help them with the symptoms of chemo.
So you're doing an awful lot.
We're trying to do an awful lot, yes.
For sure. Would you mind talking a little about your own story? How did you end up being diagnosed?
Well, I had started my journey, started in May of 2022. I had recently had some discomfort in my abdomen area, like Dr. Patel had spoken. I wouldn't say it was a pain. It was just a low discomfort, something that wasn't normal for me. And then I let it ride because it would go away. It continued coming back and radiating to my back, so I thought I'd call the doctor. Like many, I waited to call because I didn't want to bother him. I didn't think it was important, but I'm grateful for my primary care physician as she ordered a CT, and then my CT came back on my second day of retirement, letting me know that pancreatic cancer. And I knew farewell what that meant. I had just lost a dear friend who was diagnosed, and he only had a few months. So I had 20 years of my future to cram into a few months, and I'm lucky to be here. I'm blessed to have Dr. Patel as my oncologist, and I'm continuing my journey, but that's how I found out about
it's
my
hard,
journey.
Got to be hard to talk about. Especially with family and friends. How did you talk to your family and friends about it?
Well, that was the hardest thing because your future of what you assume would happen was gone. I didn't want to hurt my two children. I didn't want to hurt my parents. What could you tell them? And at the point I found out, I didn't even know what my full treatment would be until you go through a number of labs to see how advanced it is. In my case, I was blessed finding it at stage one a couple years ago. So that gave me a lot of hope. And I turned that away from the grief or fear into learning what I could about pancreatic cancer and learning how to fight it, stay healthy as I could, because I knew the treatment and journey would not be easy. But I needed to see my kids and my mother in person and tell them and let them know I felt healthy, I felt good, and I'm ready for the fight.
Dr. Patel, what happens when that cancer forms? I mean, where does it come from and how does it form?
So it's usually some reason that a cell you know, becomes cancerous and goes awry, I should say, there's likely genetic changes that are happening microscopically ahead of the actual cancer forming. But eventually there are enough cells that actually form a cancer or a mass in the pancreas. And then, you know, left untreated, the cancer will continue to grow and then potentially spread.
So, and I'm wondering about, are there different forms of, or different types maybe of pancreatic cancer?
Yeah, that's a great question. There actually are. Most people, when they're thinking of pancreas cancer and referring to pancreas cancer, we're usually thinking about an adenocarcinoma or a pancreatic adenocarcinoma, but there are more rare subtypes. There is something called an acinar cell carcinoma. There's an adenosquamous type of cancer, and there's also a more rare subtype known as neuroendocrine tumors or neuroendocrine carcinoma. So not all pancreas cancers we see are treated the same and necessarily have the same prognosis, although the vast majority of people have pancreatic adenocarcinomas. And usually when we're referring to pancreas cancer or thinking about pancreas cancer, that's usually the type that people are referring to.
And I imagine it's got to be important to talk with your doctor about the care specific to the type of pancreatic cancer you have.
Absolutely. And that's why when Kathy mentioned, you know, there's certain labs that need to be done, biopsies, we really want to know all of the information in detail without allowing too much time to pass. So that we can formulate a treatment plan together that makes sense and that's most appropriate for someone. And usually we really need, at the very least, a biopsy to do that. We also need to understand what the extent of cancer is.
And how might, I'm thinking genetic testing right now. It's something that's crossed my mind with the some of the friends that I've had who have children and so forth. How might genetic testing be helpful to gain insight on maybe some of those types of pancreatic cancer?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we know that family history plays a big role, and potentially if people have first-degree relatives with pancreas cancer, genetics can play an even more important role. I, in my practice, and based on our guidelines, I recommend that all people meet with a genetic counselor who are diagnosed with pancreas cancer, because we know approximately 10% of those patients potentially have a genetic or an inherited reason they developed the cancer. And so we do recommend genetic testing for all people with pancreas cancer, knowing that if they potentially have an identified gene that we think contributed to them developing the cancer, that could have important implications actually for their own treatment, but also for potentially first-degree relatives, so siblings, children, and future generations.
Yeah.
That's typically my practice.
Yeah. So, Kathy, for you, what were you talked a little about your signs and symptoms, but tell us a little more about that and your type of cancer.
Okay, my initial symptoms were just minor discomfort in my abdomen area. I guess I thought I was a healthy individual, ate well, exercised, and it still happened. That pain, and it wasn't a severe pain, it was just an abnormal feeling for me, and just listening to my body, knowing it didn't go away, it started to radiate to my back. And so I would ask everybody to listen to their own bodies and health and contact their doctors. In my case, it has saved me. I'm 2 years out from my initial diagnosis. So that's when I started and went in immediately to the UW. I worked with Dr. Patel, and she's been great for me with all my treatments. I'm not a number or a statistic, and she really listens to all my care, and they move fast for me from the moment they found out to do all the testings and lab work so that I could begin treatment as soon as possible, because timing is everything once you're diagnosed.
Yeah. Kathy Blakeslee is a member of the Pancreas Cancer Task Force and a cancer survivor, as we've learned. And Dr. Monica Patel is a medical oncologist at UW Health and provides treatment for gastrointestinal cancers, which, of course, includes pancreas cancer. Experience to share or question to ask? I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Coming up at noon today, we'll talk about loneliness and aging and what you can do when you feel alone. That's at noon today. But right now, we are talking about pancreas cancer with a couple of guests, Kathy Blakeslee, a member of the Pancreas Cancer Task Force, and Dr. Monica Patel, medical oncologist at UW Health, who provides treatment for gastrointestinal intestinal cancers, including pancreas cancer. Again, you can join in. Number to call, 800-642-1234. Email to talk@WPR.org. Lynette in Green Bay will go to you. Hi, Lynette. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. My question is for Dr. Patel regarding the genetic testing. So patient has genetic testing. It shows that they have a genetic predisposition for this, and they let their family members know. Members get the testing, and if so, what's the course of their treatment or...
You're kind of breaking up, but so if... Thank you very much for calling. So if you find out you have genetic, you have pancreas cancer and the genetic testing, would it be done or should it be done then on the sisters and brothers and maybe mothers?
Yeah, so great question. It depends on what gene is found to be affected. There are different inheritance patterns depending on the exact gene. So usually how it works here is the genetic counselors first counsel the patient themselves on what the gene is and what the implications are potentially for that patient. Sometimes there's a risk for other cancers as well. And then they'll let them know based on how that gene is inherited, whether it's likely that, you know, 50% of children will get it. That's just one example. Then they'll potentially counsel them on getting testing or recommending testing for all first-degree relatives. And if those relatives decide to have that testing then and they have that same gene, then that could potentially change how screening is done. For some people with certain genetic mutations and a family history of pancreas cancer, there's alternating endoscopy and MRIs done to try to catch these cancers early. And there's also, like I mentioned, implications for other cancers with some of these genes. So that's just sort of one example, but it all depends on the exact gene that is implicated.
Yeah, that makes sense. Lynette, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And I'm wondering, most of the, you've had experience with this, Dr. Patel, and I could ask Kathy this question as well. When you the gene is discovered, and depending on that gene, how likely is it that relatives will be tested for it?
It's a tough, you know, it is tough. I think genetic testing in general has implications, right? And some people want to know and be proactive and do everything to potentially catch things early and prevent other cancers. But there is a significant anxiety component too. I personally am not doing that counseling. That's why here at UW, we do have people meet with the genetic counselors themselves who are the experts in sort of knowing exactly what these discussions are like and kind of what implications they are. But to me, you know, like we talked about, pancreas cancer so many times presents too late and in the metastatic or stage four setting. And so if we could potentially catch something earlier so that we can act earlier, I think knowledge is power. So, but I do appreciate that there's a lot of, you know, things that go into that, those discussions.
Yeah. Kathy, comment?
Well, my experience, I utilize the genetic counseling, and they had, for my experience, three different levels of genetic testing. So I participated in two of the three levels of genetic testing and found that I did not carry the gene. So I was able to tell my children, my mother and my sister, that good news. They had, speaking to Dr. Patel's anxiety, they had another test for the very rare cancers, brain cancers. I chose not to do that. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to give my children anxiety. If they had a headache, do I need to go in? Mm. So the good news is for my children in this instance, and it did test for other cancers, and I did not have genes for that to pass on. So
good. Very good. Todd in Pelican Lake, we'll give you a chance to join in. Hi, Todd.
Good morning, Larry. Thanks for taking my call. I'm just wondering if either of your guests have ever heard of the turkey tail mushroom, or turkey tail, it's more of a fungus, as a treatment for this type of cancer.
It's come up. Dr. Patel, is something you've ever heard of?
So I've certainly heard of turkey tail mushroom, and I know that there are different alternative medicines that are, alternative treatments that people are trying. In terms of the data behind it and whether it's truly an effective treatment, I'm not personally the expert on that. We do have an integrative oncologist here at UW who many of my patients who are interested in seeking both alternative treatments as well as standard treatments, I have them see them to talk about potentially what can be done in conjunction with the standard treatments. I don't believe, based on what we know, that any of these alternative treatments, including turkey tail mushroom alone, are an effective treatment for pancreas cancer. Although sometimes there's compelling data for some of these alternative treatments to be done while people are receiving sort of standard treatments for pancreas cancer.
Yeah, that makes some sense. Todd, thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Cheryl in Clam Lake, we'll go to you now. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi. We have a good friend in the Chicago area that was just diagnosed with pancreatic and liver cancer. It is an adenoma by biopsy. He was at one oncologist who referred him then to University of Chicago. He had staging there, but he and his wife are still wanting to explore options. I don't think nutritional or, you know, other options, but treatment options. Is this a good plan for them?
And the plan, I'm not sure that I fully understand the plan that you were seeking other sources of information, Cheryl, are you saying?
Yes, they're wanting to explore other options, treatment or radiation. Just wondering if this is a good plan for them, or to keep going to different oncologists.
Okay.
So what I would say is, you know, with pancreas cancer and what it sounds like might be an advanced pancreas cancer, I always encourage people to seek care for consideration of clinical trials at academic big university institutions. And certainly clinical trials at any university institution might be different. I think our standard treatments for pancreas cancer are only so good, and so we're always trying to expand and improve upon those treatments. That being said, you know, I think trying to go to one or two different oncologists or one or two different institutions to seek opinions makes sense. Sometimes when people are seeking so many opinions, it can lead to delays in care. So I think also timely care is important if that's within a person's goals, if they want treatment. So I think that's what I would say about that.
Yeah. Kathy, anything to add there?
Right. When I was first diagnosed, I worked with Dr. Patel and sought a second opinion. And then my cancer has reoccurred, and again sought a second opinion with her blessing, and she's been very supportive of that, and it has given me a secure response in my care, because the second opinions totally give me comfort that I've got the best care I do at UW, and searching out clinical trials. I'm hoping to be part of a clinical trial at UW starting this month for my continued treatment. So I'm looking forward to that extra care and treatment.
Yeah. One of my friends went through that, and he said at the time, well, I don't know if it's going to do me any good, but hopefully it may help somebody else down the road.
Right.
That's pretty much, but it could also, Dr. Patel, have, I mean, if you undergoing the treatment, this clinical trial, it could be helpful to you personally. And my friend's case, he wasn't so sure, but he thought it was helped maybe somebody else.
Absolutely. I think our hope is that it does both, right? We help an individual, but also people with pancreas cancer on a larger level, so that hopefully we continue to improve treatments and advance the research that's happening with pancreas cancer.
Yeah. Cheryl, thank you again. Good luck to your friends. I hope things can work out well for them, and appreciate your call. Karen in Madison, we'll turn to you. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Larry, and your other guest. I have a cousin that died of stage 4 pancreatic cancer a couple years ago. I don't know that has anything to do with it, but is this a symptom? Could be when all of a sudden you eat and you just blow up with gas, very like a balloon, and it just nothing comes out. You're just full of gas, and it just is very painful. And anything you eat, you know, doesn't really seem changing to eat better foods. Nothing seems to help. It just gets worse whenever you eat.
Hmm. Well, Karen, I'm sorry you're undergoing that. Dr. Patel, will go to you. Could this be a symptom, or what should Karen be, what are you recommending that she be doing in terms of getting some treatment?
So I think what I'm hearing is a description of what we call early satiety, or bloating, or getting full somewhat soon. While that certainly could be a symptom that's related to pancreas cancer, it's hard to know because there's other things that could potentially cause that too. I think if you're experiencing those symptoms, I would encourage you to talk with your primary care physician about everything that's going on, and they can make the best informed decision with you about what makes sense to do next. It's hard to say that exact symptom is definitely caused by a pancreas cancer, but, you know, could it be? Potentially, I would say.
All right. So, Karen, you should be seeing your primary sooner than later. Thank you for calling. Georgia in Sturgeon Bay will turn to you. Thanks for calling, Georgia.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, well, I had an adenocarcinoma in my appendix, which resulted in my having half of my large intestine out when I was 21. And I had a nephew who died of colon cancer in his 50s. Other than that, I'm not aware of any history of pancreatic cancer in my family, but I'm wondering if those two things would put me at a greater risk, or people in my family.
Hmm. What do you think, Dr. Patel?
So typically appendiceal cancer itself and a family history of colon cancer without any specific known genetic syndrome, I don't believe that should put you at a higher risk for developing pancreas cancer. That being said, I think it is worth chatting with your family or with your primary care physician about your family history to see if it's worth having genetic testing, and if there could be implications for developing cancers that might run in your family.
When you say genetic testing, what's the procedure? I mean, if I wanted to go in for genetic testing, what are they going to do to me? Let's put it that way.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So when we're talking about genetic testing right now, what I'm talking about is testing genes that are done through a blood test to see if there is any inherited condition. Here at UW, typically we have to refer people to either see a physician or a genetic counselor, and then that blood test is coordinated. But yeah, it's simply a blood test. There's a different type of genetic testing on the actual tumor or cancer, and that's typically also done via blood or biopsy, but that's different from the type of genetic testing we've been talking about thus far.
Okay. Georgia, again, thank you for calling. Laura in Grand Marsh, your turn. Hi, Laura.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So I was diagnosed in August of 2021 with a pancreatic neuroendocrine tumor. That occurred because of the fact that I had pancreatitis, was hospitalized, and they did scans, and then they did an endoscopic procedure to see that I had that the tumor was cancerous. It's been stable right now. I'm right now in the process of I'm getting tested for pancreatic enzymes, and I'm going to be getting an MRI for my local, my maintenance. What I want to know is there any type of trial situations for that kind of tumor? Or I know you said about the pancreatic cancer, but this is a little different.
Yeah,
so good question. Pancreatic neuroendocrine tumors are one of the other types that we talked about of pancreas cancers. Although they are less common, we do see quite a few people with those type of tumors here at UW. And we typically also do have clinical trials for pancreatic neuroendocrine tumors as well. That being said, a lot of the times it depends on what the stage is and where people are in their treatment course. So the answer is yes, we do have clinical trials here. Whether or not it's applicable to you, if you have a localized pancreatic neuroendocrine tumor that's under observation, that's hard for me to say. But certainly we do have studies here.
And I'm wondering about the communication that may go on among the various hospitals within the state, let's say, if somebody in Grand Marsh, like Laura, I don't know where she goes, but would her hospital likely have information on treatments or trials that are going on elsewhere?
I think it's hard, honestly, even for internal physicians to keep track of the constant shifting landscape of clinical trials.
Yeah, I suppose.
That being said, we do get a lot of second opinions here from other local hospitals for consideration of clinical trials. So I think if anybody is interested in seeking out a clinical trial, they should come, to one of the big academic centers. There are likely other sites that have trials, but the places that have the most are typically, in Wisconsin, at least, here at the university, and then over in Milwaukee as well. But we do also have a clinical trials nurse navigator team that patients themselves can directly contact, or that physicians can contact or refer patients to, and they'll actually look through our entire list of clinical trials and let patients and their providers potentially know these are the studies that look potentially available to you, and if you're interested, you can see a provider here to consider those clinical trials. So I think that they're a fantastic resource, both for patients as well as external providers, to help learn about what the studies are, even potentially prior to a patient being seen here at UW.
And for the UW, where would you go sort of online to look and find that kind of information out?
I think if you just Google the UW Carbone Cancer Center, I honestly don't have the website memorized.
That's fine. It's going to pop up.
Carbone Cancer Center, they should be able to go to our website, or they could even look up UW Carbone Cancer Center clinical trials, and that should provide them with all the information, both about the resources here as well as the clinical trial nurse navigator team.
makes a lot of sense. Kathy, did you look at that yourself?
Yeah, I did look at that. That was important to me as it relates to our task force. The website we have can also link you to the nurse navigators to help with the trials at UW. I also reached out in my informative stage to the National Pancreatic Cancer Organization, which is PanCAN, and they help provide information just like the UW on nutrition and care and treatments for pancreas cancer, and do have a provider there if you contact that would search out clinical trials nationwide.
Just got a note from PanCAN this morning, an email, actually. I thought, well, this is appropriate to be getting this message right now. So, and we, again, will have that link to your peer group on our page as well. On the today's note, if you go to WPR.org/Larry and go to today's date in the notes section, we'll have that up. Those links that you would need to be helped. Logan in Montella, we'll go to you. Hi, Logan.
Hi. I have a customer that went to Frater Hospital in Milwaukee for a 5-week trial. He had cancer, and I don't remember what kind of cancer it was, but he was given a year to live 2 years ago, so whatever it wasn't good. And they took his T-cells out, modified them, and put his T-cells back in. And the T-cells went after the cancer. He is now 100% cancer-free, mowing his grass. When I met this guy 3 years ago, he couldn't change a light bulb. It was amazing.
Frater, and Dr. Patel, comment on that?
I would say that's incredible, and that's, you know, why I'm personally in this field, just hoping to make great advances. I personally have not seen anything like that specifically for pancreas cancer, but we are trying to develop similar sorts of therapies for pancreas cancer as well. So, but that's incredible. And I think, honestly, clinical trials and new treatments and more research is the way to move pancreas cancer treatments forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Logan, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Talking today about pancreas cancer and pancreas cancer awareness with our two guests today, Kathy Blakeslee, a member of the Pancreas Cancer Task Force we have been talking about, and also a cancer survivor. And Dr. Monica Patel is a medical oncologist at UW Health and provides treatment for gastrointestinal cancers, which, of course, includes pancreas cancer. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Tomorrow on the show, our outdoor writers are coming back for another visit about wildlife issues around the state, and we'll also be getting a look at the 2025 Wisconsin Phenology Calendar. That's tomorrow on the show. Right now, we're taking a look at pancreas cancer with our two guests, Dr. Monica Patel from the UW, and Kathy Blakeslee, who is a member of the Pancreas Cancer Task Force and a cancer survivor. Jim and Madison emailed us, Kathy, and wondered if you could say more about the emotions you went through, how you emotionally felt during treatments, and how you chose to communicate with friends.
Okay. Good question. Everybody's journey is different. It was a devastating awareness to learn that you have pancreatic cancer because you've envisioned your future and it is immediately changed. My emotions, I could hardly breathe when I heard the news. My first thoughts were all the times I had planned with my kids and husband, our travel. I wanted to see my granddaughters turn 2 and 1 and didn't know if I'd be able to do that. So trying to be able to tell my kids and remain strong while I did it, my mind, it took me a day to absorb it all. But then within me, thanks to faith, I found a strength and hope that I had purpose and I needed to focus on my purpose and doing what I could to stay healthy, be strong, and trying to tell my kids and my mother was the hardest thing, and telling friends, dear friends I could call, but some of them I didn't want to do a group email, but it is devastating to have these phone calls, not knowing what your future holds ahead of you. But with faith, I have a lot of hope. I have great friends that so many acts of kindness throughout my entire journey. When you're afraid of cancer and how do you help people, those simple phone calls, that simple text that I'm thinking of you, you've got this. And when I went through chemo, some of those days were hard. It's a long day of treatment, and then you go home with what I say is chemo to go, because the chemo still is going in your system for the next 3 days. And for me, those chemo days, I actually looked forward to. That was the only thing I could control in this cancer journey, is I'm here getting chemo and killing cancer cells. So for me, that was a good day. I could control that fight those days. But it is tough. It's not an easy journey going through the chemo symptoms, but faith and staying hopeful and having purpose. I had a lot of things to accomplish, so I stayed focused on that and did not focus on cancer. I'm not a statistic. I'm a fighter, and I'll continue to do that.
Very well said. And Dr. Patel, I bet Kathy is a good patient.
Well, she's incredible. I feel like all my patients, I mean, there's no such thing as a good patient, right? But she's honestly truly one of a kind, and she's incredible and inspiring. And you know, some days I do think, like, this is so difficult. You know, how am I in this career and how do I do it? But it's for people like her, and it's for the things that she's talking about, to make sure that, you know, we can give her more time with her family, and just, you know, support her and hopefully move the needle forward in terms of treatment and outcomes.
Let's take a call from Jude in Iola. Jude, thank you for calling.
Hi, my name is Jude, and the reason I'm calling is because my husband went through pancreatic cancer, and he went through all, you know, the chemo and radiation and everything and the surgery, and then came out on the other end, everything was fine. And then within 5 months later, another cancer cell appeared, but it appeared in his bone, in the rib cage. And the diagnosis was he wasn't going to make it. And then 10 months later, he passed. Does that happen very frequently, to where you survive a cancer and then you might possibly get another one back?
Jude, I'm very sorry for your loss. Jude, comment on that, Dr. Patel?
Yeah, I'm incredibly sorry for your experience. But I would say that with pancreas cancer, I mentioned this earlier, I usually tell people, even in the localized setting when we're trying to cure the cancer, it's about a 50-50 at best chance of staying cancer-free 2 to 3 years after the treatment. So all too commonly, we unfortunately do see the cancer returning because microscopic cells are left behind that we haven't adequately treated. And they typically, when they recur, sometimes they show up in the same place where the pancreas cancer was removed, but frequently they spread. And show up elsewhere. The bone is not a frequent site where cancer from the pancreas spreads to, although it is possible. But what I would say is we do unfortunately see that all too frequently, and that is why we're trying to improve the standard treatments that we have.
Jude, thank you for calling. Jeff in Madison, your turn. Hi, Jeff.
Hello. I have a friend, 84 years old fellow, lived up in Iron Mountain, Michigan. He was diagnosed at the Froder Hospital with a malignant tumor on his pancreas and is given a short time to live. Is there a difference between having a cancerous tumor on the pancreas and pancreatic cancer?
Jeff, again, I'm sorry for your friend's situation. Dr. Patel, is there a difference?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I think when we as physicians are talking about cancer, sometimes we use different terms, mass, tumor, cancer, and I think they can all be very confusing. Usually I use the word tumor when I'm thinking of tumor that is synonymous to pancreas cancer. However, we previously talked about there's different types of pancreas cancer. And so I think it's very important for this individual to understand what exactly is my diagnosis? Do I have pancreas cancer and what's the type? And if they're interested, what is the prognosis and what does life expectancy look like? So what I would say is usually we do use different terms to represent cancer, but it's important for this individual to understand exactly what that means for them.
Jeff, thank you very much for calling. Kathy, you mentioned way early in the show that there are opportunities to raise awareness and support, and you have a pancreatic cancer awareness night. Can you tell us about that?
Right. Coming up November 21st, with November being Pancreas Cancer Awareness Month, on the 21st, which is Thursday from 4 to 7, we have an awareness night. It's a free event. You can come in person or join virtually from our website. And the agenda for that evening is to bring awareness. We will have a nutritionist there talking about healthy eating tips. We will have a doctor speaking about the importance of the healthy circadian clock as it relates to pancreas cancer. We will also have students with their research projects highlighting the research projects going on, and as well we'll have a number of us mentors there to speak with individuals coming for the evening, and then there will be a panel of doctors and clinical personnel for a question and answer. So we will highlight what we've are accomplishing in the past years and what we hope to accomplish as a task force in the coming years. But visit our website. We have a lot of information and resources for cancer patients and those caregivers and loved ones affected by this as well.
So it'd be great if you could come to that in person. It's on the UW-Madison campus,
right,
I'm assuming. But a guy like Jeff, whose friend is in Michigan,
he can sign up. There's a registration on our website. It's free. It's just to register so they can get you the virtual link to join in virtually.
So, Jeff, you might pass that on to you, the friend. And again, the website, although we'll post it, can you give that again for us?
Right. It's www.uwhealth.org with a /PCTF. And you'll find the Awareness Night event there.
uwhealth.org/PCTF.
Correct.
So I've got that right. Well, you both are doing wonderful work, and I want to thank you so much for being with us today. And hopefully we'll have a chance, I'm sure we will have a chance to talk about this again down the road. I hope I see you again next year, Kathy.
Yeah, I hope to be here. Thank you.
Dr. Patel, thank you so much as well. Dr. Monica Patel, medical oncologist at UW Health. Kathy Blakeslee, member of the Pancreas Cancer Task Force. And again, we'll have that link on, go to WPR.org/Larry and today's date, and we'll have that in the comments section. Coming up, we're going to take a look at a little different topic. We'll talk about loneliness. There's a lot of work being done on it right now, and we'll look at that next. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News.